Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am one of your hosts today, Susan Franzen, here with my co-host, Paul Wearson. Hello, Paul.
Well, hello, Susan, and hello to all you listening at home and on the road today. We'll be previewing today community Christmas festivities in surrounding towns in Boone and Story County. But we'll also be looking back to our Christmas program last year when we interviewed Fenner Stevenson, general manager of the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad, since it started in 1996. He's been there from the beginning.
Well, he was. Fenner died last month. So as a memorial, we will be playing a couple of the short selections from the stories he told us.
We're talking today with Fenner Stevenson, general manager, and I've never seen anyone more enthusiastic about their project than you are. How did you begin with the Boone and Scenic Valley Railway here? How did you get involved?
You know, this is a crazy story. I was the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce here in town. And I was sitting at my desk one day, and one of the board members from the Iowa Railroad Historical Society walked in, walked right up to my desk, looked down at me, and he says, Fenner, he says, we're going to hire a general manager for the railroad, and you're it. And I said, well, George, I says, I know nothing about running a railroad, running trains. No, we don't need anybody to run trains. We got people to do that. We need somebody to run the railroad, run the business. And I said, they finally kept after me, and I weakened. And that was 19 years ago. And who'd have ever thought? But, you know, I've said, I've got kind of a unique situation. I go to work at a place where I love, but I go to a work at a place where the people that are coming are all coming there because they want to. And most of the people, other than our small paid staff, are coming here to work because they want to. So I'm associated almost daily through the summer around people that are happy and having a good time because they're doing what they want to do. And a lot
That's
of people,
better than any day at the dental office.
Well, there you go. There you go. And not many people can say that.
No, you're blessed to love your work and be surrounded by people who love their work and who have really a higher calling than just going to work every day. And the payoff they get is in the faces and smiles and the enjoyment of the people who come here. That's a great reward.
One story that I always like to tell about volunteers, because I am so high on volunteers, and many years ago, on a Friday night, we needed somebody to answer phone on Saturday. And I called this lady up. I said, Evelyn, I said, would there be any chance you could answer the telephones tomorrow at the railroad? Oh, Fenner, I think maybe I could do that. And she says, but I won't be in until about 10 because I have to eat breakfast and so on. I said, that's okay, not a problem. So she came in the next day. About 4 o'clock, she said, Fenner, she says, it's slowing down now. I think I'll go home. And I said, Evelyn, thank you so much for coming in and helping out. Oh, no, Fenner, thank you. She says, do you know what it means to an 80-year-old lady to have somebody call them on a Friday night and ask if I can help?
Oh, wow.
And it gave me a whole different, the other side of volunteerism, that there are people out there that this really means a lot to them, to be able to help out and something to do.
Well, the great thing about volunteering, and I've done my share of volunteer work. The cornerstone of volunteer work is always that you get as much as you give. And that story about Evelyn certainly illustrates that. That's a terrific description of the secret of volunteers. But, you know, Fenner's stories about children on this Santa train were even more charming, and I remember doing that interview. Fenner was wearing his conductor's hat, and his eyes twinkled when he told the stories.
When we get to the North Pole, we stop out there, then Santa comes through the train.
Oh, and Santa visits, too.
Oh, yes, Santa visits, and he comes through the train, and he visits with the kids and gets his picture taken, and then he hands out, depending on whether it's first class or a coach, if it's coach, they get a bell there, too.
Okay.
And then they also get the hot chocolate and the cookies. And then he'll wander through the whole train. So it takes a while to go through when you got 9 cars and 400 kids.
But everyone has a great view to look out, and they can entertain themselves while the kids are being involved with Santa Claus. And
yeah, one of the really fascinating things about this is of course, everybody confuses us with the Polar Express, which we can't use the name Polar Express because that's trademarked. And so we use the name Santa Express. But in the movie Polar Express, the train flies. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but it flies. Well, with us, they'll come up to the end of the depot, and we'll be talking to them, and they'll say, "Yeah, Daddy, this train flies." "No, Johnny, that's only in the movies that the trains fly. Yeah, this one probably won't fly." "Oh, I'll bet it does." Well, then we take off and we go out, and when we get out just short of the North Pole, we go across Bass Point Creek High Bridge. And it's a single-track bridge, of course.
Right.
And when you look out the windows, you look down 156 feet, and there's nothing down there.
You're flying.
You're flying. And that's when the little kids will look at their dad and mom and say, "Huh?"
And whether you have snow or not, it's still the Santa train.
We always have snow at the North Pole.
You do? Okay.
It's become a family tradition. We've got a lot of families. Had a family the other day I talked to, and they drive up from Kansas City to ride the Santa Express. And it's one of those things when I look at it with all the problems we've got in the world right now, it's so much fun to watch these families come, and for an hour or two, they just are having fun. There's no worry about anything. Well, maybe how many cookies they're going to get. But there's just no worry about anything. It's just family fun.
So it's so unique, and it's such a out-of-the-world experience, really, because you're getting on the train, which to many people nowadays is nostalgic in and of itself.
Oh, sure.
Not that many people have experience traveling by rail. And then you have all the allure of the Polar Express and the media that's built up around trains and Christmas. That all works in your favor. And then here we are in this beautiful scenic area with a very high bridge, the illusion of flying. What do you want beyond that?
Well, that's the whole thing right there. I mean, we're very fortunate with our line because we do have the different terrain that we go across. We go across through the Iowa flatland, and then we disappear down into the valley, and as we go across that bridge, and then shortly after we get across the bridge, then we, of course, arrive at the North Pole. And as the train pulls in, it's all lighted alongside of the train, and we've got the Santa's North Pole Depot. The North Pole Depot is there, and Christmas trees, and just all kinds. There's a reindeer in the pens, and just a lot of festiveness about the North Pole. And I remember one time I had a little kid. I was going through the train, and I had a little boy look at me, and he says, "This isn't the real North Pole." And I said, "What? What do you mean it's not the North Pole?" Well, he says, "North Pole doesn't have any trees." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Have you been to the North Pole?" "Well, no." "Well, how do you know it doesn't have trees?" "Oh, well, maybe it does."
That's a precious moment.
Yeah, you know, we get all kinds of stories like that, that the kids, they're just so excited. Some of these little kids, when they get on the train, they just are beside themselves. They're so excited.
It would be fun to take that trip just to watch the children, actually.
Oh, yeah. And the volunteers, this is one of the times when we have volunteers, because almost all the people that work the train for us, serving hot chocolate, making hot chocolate, all of this stuff that it takes to put it together, they love it. They enjoy seeing it. And some of them have been here for years doing this with us, reading the story. We have our own book that's been written because we don't read the Polar Express. So we have our own book that's been written for us.
Oh, that's great. So it's like a storyteller.
Right.
Too.
Yep. There's just a lot of fun involved with it.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. And your hosts for today, Susan Franzen and Paul Wearson, are previewing some of the community Christmas celebrations in Boone and Story counties. Our program started with a tribute to the late Fenner Stevenson, general manager of the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad, who died last month. We played a couple of short pieces from an interview with him from the 2014 Boone Christmas program.
And we'll be returning to Boone and revisit Susan Schaefer at the bookshop on Story Street and talk again with Kurt Phillips, director of the Boone Chamber of Commerce. He'll be talking about celebrations in Ogden and Madrid, as well as Boone.
We'll close out our program by talking with Lynn Scarlett, director of the Nevada Chamber of Commerce, who will tell us about the different array of activities from the county, seat of Story County.
Well, now, since we had time for just one business interview today, we chose the Boone Bookshop. Bookshops are among my favorite places, and there are very few independent bookstores left in Central Iowa.
If anyone knows of another one, please let us know. But for now, we'll just enjoy hearing from Susan Schaefer about some new trends in items in demand this year.
New trends in books.
They certainly aren't books I would have guessed would be popular, but let Susan tell us.
We have new books and used books. We have Melissa and Doug puzzles. We have journals. And
this year we've added Us Born and Kane Miller books for the young children. We've also added hundreds of adult coloring books, including the gel pens and crayons and colored pencils and everything that goes with it. We have Creative Haven. We have the Joanna Bashford. We have more Harry Potter on order. We just have hundreds and hundreds of books in the coloring variety.
Coloring books. Now, I'm a little behind the times. I haven't seen an adult coloring book. So could you describe that?
They vary in complexity. Some of them are very, very intricate, and you need gel pens or really sharp pencils, and they're just beautiful designs and whatnot. Some of them are just very interesting patterns, geometrics and paisleys. We have color by number. We have copy ones. We have all kinds of really neat ones. And they're a little more difficult than regular coloring books. And they're just a lot of fun. They're a lot of different types. Some of them even have the stories with them.
Well, I noticed the names, Paisley Designs, Midnight Forest, Frank Lloyd Wright.
That's stained glass. And stained glass ones, too. Frank Lloyd Wright's a stained glass one.
Tibetan Designs, Zenscapes, Magnificent Mosaics, Amazing Angels.
Oh, my gosh, there's just so many.
Now, when did these come out first?
They've been out, actually, for quite a few years. They just have become insanely popular over the last few months. Well, the last year.
Do you have any idea what happened? Were they featured on a TV show or something?
I know that Joanna Bashford, her Secret Garden, showed up on Facebook one time. And from then, I've had so many people asking for it. There were 10,000 on order with my distributor. They're just crazy amounts of requests for this book. What we don't have, we can find for you.
So you can order things and find people's desires, and they can come here and you're going to make sure that they get what they need.
As much as I is in my power to do so, yes.
Well, it's a very brave business venture.
We
so this is the bookshop in Boone, by the way.
On Story Street.
On Story Street. This is a mixture of two counties.
Well, this is true, but yeah. A bookshop on Story Street.
Yeah, it's romantic. Romantic.
It just made it for me.
But I love the atmosphere here. You have old books and a very, very nice, attractive shelving, and people can walk through and browse. It's informal. Looks like you have a resident cat also.
Two of them, actually.
Two cats.
We just got them at the end of May. There will be a year in January. They're from the Nevada shelter.
Well, you know, I think this fills a niche in people's lives. There are people who, like me, want to cuddle up with a good book, and they like the smell of a book, the feel of a book, the turning of the pages. They like to be able to look and shop and find what they need. And you're catering to that, aren't you, Susan?
I'm trying my very best.
Now, 7 years ago, did this look like a good bet or scary?
Some of both. Scary as all get out, but it's what I wanted to do. And you just put your heart and soul into it and keep going.
And you moved into Boone. You're not a native of Boone.
I am not. I didn't know anybody but my realtor.
And so you came in here to a new town, new place, with a dream, and you've made that happen for you.
Yeah, pretty much. With a lot of help from people. Great people here in town, though.
And they've supported you and made your business.
Yes, they have.
Were the first 2 or 3 years pretty difficult as a new business person in Boone?
They were rough, yeah. I mean, you know, retail always has a lot of ups and downs. But we made it through.
Now, is there a seasonal aspect to a bookstore?
Yes. We have, well, right now it's, you know, Christmas books and books for Christmas presents and puzzles and all this. But even just in the middle of the winter, if there's a storm coming, I have a lot of people come in just in case they get homebound for those next 2-3 days, so I have something to read.
So the same people that go into the grocery store and buy 6 gallons of milk also stop here and get books.
Yes, sir, they do.
That's remarkable, but makes sense, you know.
You gotta love them.
Now, do people come in and have you order things specially for them?
Yes, I order books, movies, music. I have ordered tote bags for a lady, sheet music for another lady, whatever I can find for them. I have one that's always getting crochet tablecloths.
And you've been a source for these people, these varied interests. But I notice in looking around, you also have the latest publications and some real vintage stuff, too.
Yes.
And you've got it divided into categories that make sense so people know how to find things.
I have to be able to find it. If I can't find it, it's no good. So it has to be organized. It has to be clean. It has to be neat.
I'm impressed with the way you've laid out the store with how much you have in this space. I think I read 45,000
books. 45,000 books.
And what's the proportion new and used?
Probably a third. We have more used books than we have new books. New books cost a lot more. Well, a lot of times people will pick up a book at a store and this sounds really good and they start reading it and they realize it's part of a series. Well, you can't always find the backstories easily, and that's really where I can help a lot of people and save them a lot of money.
So you can special order used books as well as new books?
I can. Unfortunately, with used books, when I special order, I have to pay shipping. With new books, when I special order, I don't have to pay shipping.
That's interesting to know. And there, this place is so welcoming. It's almost a living room setting, and Susan's sitting in a nice, comfortable armchair. And and I think people can come in here and sit and look at her book for a while, and you wouldn't chase them out, would you?
No, I have some ladies that come in, and they're not sure what they want, so we pull them 3, 4, 5, sometimes about a dozen books, and sit them down here, let them look through. They're not sure if they've read this one or that one, and I just assume they made sure that's the book they wanted before they left.
So this is a very customer-friendly place, and you've sort of gotten into the mind of the customer and built a business based on what you'd want if you went to a store to look for a book, haven't you, Susan?
Pretty much.
Yes.
I've been to a lot of used bookstores, and I try and give them what I would want. Well, there's some wonderful things out there right now. I just haven't been able to get another one in.
That beautiful chime in the background is when anyone opens the door.
Yes.
It's kind of like It's a Wonderful Life. Every time a bell rings, an angel gets their wings.
We have lots of angels here.
And speaking of angels, I noticed you have an angel tree right by your door, right by your cash register.
Yes,
Would you explain the angel tree and where it comes from?
The Salvation Army is the sponsor of the angel trees. They have families with children who just need a little bit of extra help for Christmas. And so we have an angel for each of the children. It just says, you know, boy, girl, and their age. And the idea is to see if we can't help them have a better Christmas. Whether you buy books or clothing, they set a store up, and the parents can actually shop from that store within the things that were given to the Salvation Army for them. And it's really good. That way they can choose what would appeal to their child without someone who has no idea who they are giving them something.
So when your patrons come in, they could take a list or an item that the child desires and go buy that or furnish that, but they're specifically donating for that child.
Yes.
That's the beauty of an angel tree.
And sometimes people will just, you know, buy 3 or 4 books, different levels, and say, here, we'll put these in the box and they'll go to the store.
I have an offering basket up too. If they don't want to actually buy something for a child, they can just put an extra dollar in or something. And the Salvation Army is in charge of that. I just ask that I get a tree every year.
And you've done that for how long?
Five Christmases.
Yeah,
I didn't even think about the first couple. I was kind of out of it a bit. But I'm learning as I go. And this is one thing that I want to continue doing every year.
And then you feel good about that.
Why do I like it?
And your clients who come in, they are part of this effort. And so they buy into that with you too.
Yeah, I had one lady last year came in, just dumped her whole change purse in there.
Is that right?
Yeah, I thought that was really sweet.
That is a great Christmas scene. And you know,
it is.
And what I like about the angel tree is there's a specific thing happening for each child.
And it
fulfills their need. And it's local. Yep, exactly.
And you never know when one day it might be you or someone in your family who's fallen on hard times. It just, it can happen to anybody.
Oh, in the recent recession, many middle class people who had great careers suddenly are going to food banks. And so, so many people are one paycheck away from shortages, and not poverty necessarily, but extreme stress financially, and they can't buy the extra things at Christmas, and no child understands that. So if you can bridge that gap, and that child has access to a normal Christmas as much as possible, that's probably the most impactful thing you can do for a child.
It's a good thing. It's
and you're part of that. You got to be proud.
I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
It's just a small way to help the community back.
So all kinds of things are happening at Boone at Christmas, and not the least of which is right here at the bookshop. And Susan Schaefer, you're part of not only the business community here in Boone, but also what happens at Christmas and all the things that are done with and for people. Oh, another angel got their wings.
I like that you think.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy.
Yes, it's a wonderful life, and this is KHOI Community Radio. Susan and I, Paul Wearson, Susan Franson, we've been visiting Boone. Now, thank you, Susan Schaefer, for telling us how a bookstore could extend beyond the obvious to meet the needs of the community where she lives.
It's time to go to the Boone Chamber of Commerce now to hear about the great variety of events being planned throughout Boone County. Here we are with Kurt Phillips.
Kurt, could you fill us in on what's coming up here in Boone and the surrounding area?
Across Boone County, at least the three major communities all have a number of different things going. And starting here maybe first in the city of Boone, we celebrate the holidays, really kick it off with our Merchants Association, known as the Boone Area Merchants Association. They had a holiday open house back in middle of November, and that really starts about a 30 to 40 day celebration of the holidays, of course, with lots of great sales in all of the stores in the community, but a lot of special things that they do too. In fact, we've put out flyers throughout the community to remind folks of all the opportunities they have. The open house, again, is what kicks it off, but we end up having Santa down on the corner. If anybody's ever been into Boone in the last 2 years, 8th and Story Street is really the epicenter of this particular community. And it's at 8th and Story Street. Unfortunately, we lost a couple buildings, three buildings actually, about 6 years ago. It's turned into just a green space, a simple, flat, grassy area that gets used for a lot of little celebrations and festivals and family activities. And it's at that particular space that the city has chosen to erect about a 16, 17-foot Christmas tree, just laced with gorgeous bulbs and lights, but they keep it unlit. And they wait for us to do our holiday-lighted parade. Right on that corner is also where our Santa shop is. And Santa's there every weekend to visit with the kids. And Santa's been busy already so far this season. So every weekend, the parents can bring their kids downtown to the corner of 8th and Story Street and visit with Santa. And it's behind the Santa workshop is where the tree is located. Now, coming up shortly, Thursday the 3rd, we have our holiday-lighted parade. It's a chamber activity. We've been doing it forever. It's a small parade. It's nothing like, 2 hours long or 2 miles long. It's short. It's fun, though. People light up their trucks, their tractors, their lawnmowers. They just, whatever it is, they throw lights on it and they put inflatable Santas on it or whatever the case may be. They theme it with music and we just have a good time. It's about a 5-block parade. Comes right up Story Street.
and the lights on Story Street, the people lights, are turned down. So it's a darker Story Street to allow the lights of the floats to come through a little bit better. And the parade begins at 7 o'clock on Thursday night, the 3rd. It's usually over shortly thereafter. But it rendezvous back and around to 8th and Story Street, where we then sing a few Christmas carols and then do our, I call it our mini Rockefeller Christmas. We count down 3, 2, 1, and we light the tree. And it is really a spectacular setting. Now, this year's going to be interesting. Not a whole lot of snow to make the moment, but nicer than maybe average weather. But it's just a fun place to be. Families come down. We got a couple hundred people that'll join us around the tree and enjoy that night. And again, so it's the holiday lighted parade followed by the official tree lighting. And then the tree is lit for the rest of the holiday season. Now that's on a Thursday here in early December, but shortly thereafter, a number of things are going on throughout the county. For example, over in Ogden, community just about, 8 miles to the west of Boone, they have always done a great job decorating their main street, both in the windows, but the street light decorations. And they always have a great time with a themed Christmas celebration, this year called Believe in the Magic of Christmas. And they'll do that on Saturday. And I hear tell that Santa's going to be there as well, and horse-drawn wagon rides downtown. And they do just a number of different things. And, of course, their retailers have lots of sales as well for the holiday season. That's on Saturday. At the same time that that's going on, or not exactly the same time, but close to the same time, back in Boone now, our Festival of Hope has grown and grown and grown for years. Put on by the Boone Educators Association, the Boone Hope Foundation, they actually formally created a foundation for that. They've been raising money for those less fortunate in our neighborhood for many, many years. Specifically, teachers put this program together, as a way to help students that they were identifying as needy. These kids were coming to school, as an example, in the middle of winter with not much of any kind of coat on. And so as they began to inquire and question, they realized that there are many, many students in particular that have a great need for Christmas. And so the Festival of Hope was created, the Boone Hope Foundation, many years ago, and it turned into quite an event. It's beautiful, and people put gift baskets together, and they raise a considerable amount of money, usually in the realm of $20,000 a year, for the Hope Foundation to disperse for those, again, who are less fortunate. But it's a beautiful event. It's a fun event. There's music there. They've got cookies and cider and all this. And this year, they used to have it at the hospital atrium here at the Boone County Hospital. They moved it now to the brand new high school commons. So it should be it's a new venue, but still a great event. And that's actually on Saturday the 5th, same time that Ogden is celebrating in their Main Street district. Number of things going on. That same day, if that isn't enough, boy, I tell you, December 5th, you could keep running around from place to place. The Merchants Association, again, here in Boone, in the midst of all of the different things they're planning for the holidays, they are putting together a really neat kids program that'll be taking place at our Boone County Historical Center, which is on the corner of 6th and Story Street in the basement level. They can get quite a few kids in there, and they have got just a number of things planned from 10 until noon. Parents can drop their kids off. They're going to decorate cookies. They've got story time, song singing, coloring, crafts, all kinds of snacks for the kids, games, candy cane limbo. But the thing that I think the kids are going to just go nuts over is some of the special guests. Now, I can't tell you who they are, but I bet you the kids will really get excited about some of the special guests that will be showing up, some from their favorite movies. So it's going to be a great time. That's Saturday here in Boone on the 5th of December. So a number of things right on that day. And then you take it one step further, and Madrid, to the southern side of our county, has always done a great job with what they call their Christmas extravaganza. And again, I don't have my line item list in front of me, but they do just numbers of different things and light up their downtown. And they're actually really good at a lighted parade, too. They have, in fact, as big, if not bigger, than the lighted parade that happens through the city of Boone. And it's just neat the way that community comes together and celebrates the holidays. That's actually on a Monday night, the 7th. They call it their Christmas extravaganza. So, that community, like I say, really comes together, and that's another great way to just kind of get in the spirit of the season. So, after that, there's a number of smaller events going on around the community and around the county, but, it's a great way to kick off December and really, like I say, sort of light the fire of the spirit of the season. So,
well, that is quite an impressive list.
And I'm sure I'm missing something, but those are some of the things that are right up front, yeah.
And what's the Breakfast with Santa?
Yep. The folks at the Boone County Hospital are also going to, on Saturday the 12th, we keep Santa busy around here. Santa's going to arrive at the Boone County Hospital atrium from 8 in the morning to 10:30, also to meet with the kids. So parents can bring their kids over there on Saturday the 12th for a couple hours or so. Santa and Mrs. Claus will be there, so you got some photo opportunities, and they always decorate the Boone County Hospital atrium up beautifully. So yet another opportunity to meet Santa either at the Boone County Hospital on that Saturday or back downtown in Boone. So.
Well, Santa is going to be so tired by Christmas Eve. It's going to be amazing if he can get into his sleigh and deliver all those presents.
Can even deliver a thing, I know. So, yeah. We like to celebrate the holidays around here, and I'm, you know, really glad that each of the communities really steps forward to do something. It would be easy to say it's a lot of work, it's a lot of money and time. Maybe we'll just hang a couple of decorations and call it good. But the three largest communities in particular in the county really, really do step up. The citizens really come together, and along with help from city crews or vice versa, the citizens helping the city, we really get to have a wonderful feeling about our communities when we go through the holiday season here in the latter part of the year.
Well, you just mentioned the citizens helping the crews. We started off our program this morning with an interview from Fetter Stevenson, taped last Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And he said over and over again how important... He told us over and over again how the volunteers supported each other and how people volunteered, for example, in the Santa train because they just loved to be on the Santa train and watch the kids and serve the cocoa. And it sounds like that's a sort of an atmosphere around here. People want to give.
Absolutely. You know, we never stop asking for that type of help and involvement. I'm a big believer that volunteering is the gift you give. It's a gift you give, but it's good for you. It's good for the soul. It's an investment in your community. And while I understand that society is time-starved, we're probably busier than we have all ever been in our lives. You hear retired people say that. At the same time, what Fenner understood and what we understand here is that many of the things that we enjoy would never happen without the volunteers. I mean, we run a community festival here in September at the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce, and it takes over 200 volunteers. You take those 200 volunteers away, we don't have that festival. The Santa train at the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad, one of the greatest inventions of our time for families and kids, what a great time that is. Without volunteers, they don't have the Santa train, and it's a very, very popular destination this time of year. Without the merchants who have stores to run, volunteering their time to create the atmosphere in their communities, whether it's a Boone County community or anywhere across rural Iowa, rural America, without those retailers coming together, you don't get quite the full feel or the spirit of the season. So, you know, volunteering is huge. But again, I will say this. Volunteering is the gift you give, but it gives you something back too. And it seems like people who are willing to let that happen, to become that volunteer, they soon understand that, and they find they're willing to volunteer more easily for other things that really mean a lot to them. So all these things that we've just talked about, most of them are driven by volunteers. Most of them. Or if not driven completely by volunteers, there's a tremendous amount of volunteer help assisting, like I say, city crews to make the moment in the community. So very important. Fenner understood that, and it's a message we're going to continue to carry on.
That was a pretty impressive array of activities for everybody.
Caring for everyone in the community seems to be a high priority this season. In another part of the interview, Kurt Phillips voiced a sentiment that I have heard in other places. Let's listen to that.
This is not a community that is necessarily all one ethnicity or all one faith. People in the community of Boone, and now I'm speaking of the city of Boone, come from a number of different places.
Oh, yeah.
But what's really neat about it, when somebody is in need, I have never really lived in a community that comes to the assistance of those people better than this community. There is a strong sense of community and sort of a bonding together when there is a need. The Hope Festival is a great example. The Angel Tree is a great example. I'm in a service club that did a coat drive, tremendous contributions there. You know, on and on. The examples would go on and on. If we really sat down and started to make a list of the efforts towards serving fellow man, we got a lot of it going on in Boone County. But I am very pleased to see that we do look out for each other pretty well here, considering we didn't all step off the same boat. We've come together from a lot of different walks of life, and that's pretty cool.
Nuestra luna ilumina toda la noche. Todos duermen en silencio toda la noche. Gentilmente y en silencio se revelan sentimientos, se respira un aire puro toda la noche.
Well, you just heard from Kurt Phillips, director of the Boone Chamber of Commerce, about all the celebrations in Boone County during the Christmas season. And now we have Lynn Scarlett, director of the Nevada Chamber of Commerce. She'll be telling us what will be going on in Story County's seat this holiday season. Hello, Lynn.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Well, we're fine, and I hope you are too. There's a dusting of snow outside today, but the rest of the week will be warm and wonderful, and this is your opportunity to share with us what's going on in Nevada. I just see here Louis Anderson is performing at the Talent Factory. Is that Friday?
That is Friday at 8 o'clock.
Now, you're talking about the Louis Anderson.
Louis Anderson, yes.
He's coming to Nevada.
He is.
You guarantee the celebrity will be there.
I do.
Okay, that's great.
And we invite you to come over and enjoy the show.
Yeah, that'll be at 8 o'clock at the Talent Factory. Tickets will be available for that. And Louis Anderson is a national celebrity, so congratulations for garnering such an important talent over there.
Well, thank you.
Tell us about what's going on this Friday besides that.
Well, on Friday the 4th, we've got a Christmas open house at State Bank and Trust that'll be held all day. They're going to be serving cookies and coffee and cider, as well as providing entertainment from our multi-age program at the elementary school. So that'll be a lot of fun. And then on Saturday, the 5th, we have Sandy Clark performing at the Talent Factory. She does a Christmas show every year, and that show will start at 7 o'clock, and tickets are available for that. And then on Sunday, the First United Methodist Church will be presenting The Silence and the Sound, a cantata for Christmas, and that'll be held at 10:45 in the morning on Sunday, and then again at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and everyone is welcome to attend that.
Well, this sounds like a great bunch of activities that are going on, and such a rich variety, too, from Louis Anderson to a Christmas cantata. There's a lot of space in between those two.
Yes, there is.
Now, the Downtown Winter Festival, that's held on Friday, December 11th.
It is.
And that begins at 5 p.m., right?
It does, yes, and we are going to be having our businesses will be holding open houses and extended shopping hours that day. We'll also have a live nativity scene done by the Family of Faith at one of our downtown locations called Gatherings. We've got the Nevada High School Carolers will be downtown. And then at 5:45, Santa will arrive with Mrs. Claus to light the Christmas tree at State Bank and Trust. And then we have a new event this year. We have the Iowa State Pop-Up Art Show, and that'll be held at Gatherings from 5 until 8.
What's a pop-up art show?
Well, my understanding of this is that the artists will arrive Thursday with their artwork, and it pops up, and then Friday night at 8 o'clock, it goes away. So it's just kind of a, an in-and-out kind of an event. So they do this in Perry, and it has been very successful, and they asked if Nevada would be interested in participating. So we're going to hold one here in Nevada.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Now, yeah, there's going to be a live nativity scene, and I've always really respected the folks who volunteer to be in the live nativity scene. There they are in biblical costumes, and it's below zero. You know, I hope you have good weather for that, because I've always thought these are courageous people out there playing Joseph and Mary and the wise men, and they're not allowed to wear fur coats or anything.
Right. And we make it easier, though. They will be inside at gatherings.
Oh, they're going to be inside?
It will be inside. So then people can walk inside. It'll be at the same location as the art show.
I'm glad you stipulated that.
Yes.
Because most of them I've seen have been outside, and I thought, this is tough work.
Now, I'm not familiar with gatherings. Could you tell our listeners, other listeners besides me, that what it's like and where it is?
Well, it's located on 6th Street here in downtown Nevada. And it used to be Julianne's Gift Shop, if that helps listeners to know. It's right across the street from State Bank and Trust. It's owned by Evie Hall, and she has a catering business. And she purchased the building and turned it into a large meeting space. She can seat over 300 people, and she does wedding receptions and different events like that all within this building. And it's beautiful inside. They've got it very rustic, and very, it's a very nice facility, very, very nice venue.
It sounds like something that would really be used a lot.
It is. I talked to her. We held our chamber annual meeting there, and she told me then that she is booking into 2017 already.
Wow, that's terrific.
Yeah.
Now, you're really having two weekends here where there are special activities, this upcoming weekend, and then again next weekend you have that Downtown Winter Festival. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about two weekends here.
Right. And then in addition to everything going on downtown, we have a number of events happening at Gates Hall, which is south by the high school. And there we'll have our chamber cookie walk. That'll be from 5 until 8. And we'll also have a junior theater presentation that is put on by Parks and Rec. And then we'll have a festival of trees happening all Friday evening. And then Saturday morning we start back up again at 8:30. And we have a continuation of the cookie walk, and then we have breakfast with Santa, and we do Toys for Tots collection, and we still have the Festival of Trees, and then there's another junior theater presentation at 11 o'clock in the morning. So a very packed weekend with lots of different family activities.
Well, now, you might explain to me what a cookie walk is.
We invite local bakers, our residents of Nevada, or from anywhere in our community, to donate 10 dozen cookies. And then the cookie walk, we have all the cookies out on tables, and people purchase a bucket, and they can fill the bucket with any of the cookies that they want.
That takes care of Christmas.
It does.
They can just bring the bucket of cookies and tell everybody they made them all.
That's right. And we do a decorated cookie contest, too, where if you provide a minimum of 2 dozen of your decorated cookies, the judges will determine who made the prettiest or the nicest decorated cookies, and they'll win $50 in Nevada Chamber Bucks.
You know, I'd like to participate in that, but my lawyer tells me that I can't cook or bake for others.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you, Paul.
Can't be involved in that. We can't risk public safety if
no,
I bake
no.
cookies. So you've got two great weekends coming up. And it sounds like you have very wide participation by not only the merchants, but also so many other organizations are throwing in on this. And what about that children's show? Is that a Christmas show? It's children's theater, is that correct?
It is. It's junior theater, and the actors are elementary and middle school age students, and they have a volunteer producer, and they do two different Christmas shows. And there's two different groups of kids, and so that way we can have more kids participate, and parents can enjoy the shows just for fun.
That's great. You know, it's what the unseen hand here is the number of adults who volunteer, and get involved in leadership roles. And also, when you do children's theater, and I've done children's theater, and that's a real project because you have to keep everyone focused. You have to have rehearsal and a certain amount of discipline about learning the words. And it's just real challenging during rehearsal. And then when they perform and they start to get feedback and applause and laughter, they buy in a big way. It's fun to watch that transition. And so for me, it would be worth going over to Nevada just to watch that children's production because I realize what's involved in putting that on. And it's wonderful to watch the kids get audience response. I think that's how people get addicted to performing when they're that young and get on stage and get audience reaction. And you talk to and you listen to Hollywood celebrities and stars, and they look back on their lifetime, and it was that moment when they were on stage as a child and got audience response that they knew what their vocation and gift was. So maybe among those children performing is the next Judy Garland or something like that.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
And then we could all look back and say, in Nevada in 2015, she debuted in the children's production.
Speaking of volunteers, I know you've volunteered with the Speak Up program over in the Nevada schools. Do you suppose any of the students that you had in your classes are going to be in those shows?
I wonder if they would be because I've done the Speak Up program for RSVP for several years. It's a great program where each child in fifth grade writes a 3-minute speech. There's a master of ceremonies, a timekeeper, and there's a question and answer session for the speakers to answer questions from the class. And I think my first class just graduated last year from Nevada High School.
Oh, wow.
And this is a fifth grade class. So if I walked into Nevada, I'm sure there'd be a lot of kids saying, "Hi, Paul, hi, Paul."
Well, no, but they don't get applause and Speak Up like they do when they...
No, we do applause all the time.
Yeah. Oh.
We applaud the timekeeper. We applaud the... If someone goes to the bathroom, we applaud that. So it's a very reinforcing thing.
So they're all primed to be on stage.
Yeah, and I think what we try to do with that program is diffuse the fear of public speaking among kids so that... Surveys show that adults are more terrified of public speaking than of dying, you know. They don't think they're going to die, but they're scared to death someone's going to ask them to give a speech. And so we think if we diffuse that when they're 10, and, you know, they're so creative.
They are.
I'm constantly impressed by fifth graders. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard everything from a speech entitled Dumb Things My Dad Did on Vacation to a story about how a little brother dealt with cancer, and a mother who died of cancer, divorce, very heavy subjects like that. And then a boy last year gave a speech on the day the music died. Now, how can a 10-year-old know about the big bopper and all that stuff? Another boy gave a speech on Rocky Marciano. We're getting off the subject, but that's just, when you go to that children's show, that's the kind of stuff that'll surprise you. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to seeing that. That's going to be great. Anything else you want to highlight today, Lynn?
Well, I was listening to Kurt when he was talking, and he was talking about volunteers and other programs. And something that I'm very proud of here in Nevada is our Angel Tree program. Working with the school and with our Nevada Community Resource Center, we had over 350 children who needed help with Christmas gifts to make their Christmas a little brighter, and the community has taken all of those names and will be providing gifts for those kids, and they're all going to be dropped off this Friday at our resource center, and then the parents will be able to wrap the gifts and give their children a little brighter Christmas. So that's kind of a nice program that we do here in Nevada.
It sounds good, and the core of Christmas seems to be things like the Angel Tree program, because Christmas, that's when adults who are having a difficult time, maybe a single-parent family or someone who's unemployed, it really highlights the fact that they're in trouble because they want to give their children a Christmas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no one wants to live like the Cratchit family at Christmas unless Ebenezer is going to come and rescue them. And so a credit to all the Angel Tree programs that exist everywhere. We have one in Story City, too. Whoever came up with that idea is definitely headed for heaven.
They are.
Well, thank you, Lynn.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for sharing everything. We appreciate you letting us know what will be happening in Nevada.
You bet. You can call me anytime.
Well, thank you, and
thank
Merry
you.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too, both. Thank you.
That was really quite a variety of things going on and impressive. Now, I know you, Paul, from Story City, would like to just feature one or two things.
I don't have any paperwork here with me, or I could give you a long list, but actually, Friday night, 7 o'clock at E-Free, Harvest E-Free Church in Story City, we have the greatest Christmas pageant ever with the Herdman children causing all that difficulty. And one of the great Christmas classics, the greatest Christmas pageant ever. It's a children's theater show put on by Judd Story Theatrical Troupe, 7 o'clock on Friday at Story City. And, of course, all the Yuletide festivities continue with the big Christmas tree in downtown Story City, right at the city square. And I'm proud to say that my grandfather, Oscar Henderson, was one of the founders of that tradition, and early in the 20th century, before there was much electrification. And we had all those bulbs on the tree, plus bulbs on the line running to the lamppost that supported the tree. And it was remarkable. It got a lot of coverage in the papers at that time because it was so unique. And they've had that Christmas tree every year since, with the exception of 1943, during the war, they had Santa and his sleigh. And it was so unpopular, they went right back to the Christmas tree. And to this day, if you drive to Story City, Iowa, right this time of year, there's a great big Christmas tree right in the city square.
For over 100 years, you've
That's
been doing
right.
that.
Yeah, my grandfather was so proud of that, and he was an instrumental part of doing that, and I'm so proud that that tradition continues. Every year, we just actually find a donor. They come out of the woodwork, and it's a real tree that was chopped down and erected by the city crew up there in the middle of the square, and it's about a 20-foot tree, you know. So this is a massive project. We had a Christmas tree lighting last Friday night where we were singing Christmas carols, and all kinds of children's events were going on. And it's just so nice today to hear from Boone and Nevada. And Kurt talked about all other towns in Boone County, too, that have all this great stuff going on at Christmas. And I think Christmas is the bright, shining light of the winter days. And I'm so happy it's that time of year again.
And I guess we don't have time for one more Christmas carol. We've got to go out now with Backtracking. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people's stories and events in Central Iowa. We've been your hosts, Susan Franzen and Paul Wearson. We started out the show with Memories of Fenner Stevenson. Other voices you heard were Susan Schaefer of the Bookshop in Boone, Kurt Phillips, director of the Boone County Chamber of Commerce, and Lynn Scarlett, director of the Nevada Chamber of Commerce.
Local Talk will be rebroadcast at noon and 7 p.m. You can listen to them on our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. There you will find also information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. And you can like us on Facebook and get updates on all of our show postings in your news feed.
Local Talk was engineered by Richard Morrison. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Toda la Noche, both from the CD, It's Christmas.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. And if you would like to join us, the team we have here at KHOI as a producer, contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 292-2878. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org.
If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as a listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and
see you again on the radio.